Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Christmas. We begin our worship with the confession and forgiveness with a reading from 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I invite you to take a moment for reflection, for confession, an opportunity to give those things that you have done or not done, those burdens that you're tired of carrying, and giving those to God at this time. I invite you to receive the good news, and the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for you. And for his sake, God promises to forgive you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We continue with the Kyrie in your bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
We join together in singing the hymn of praise, Shout to the Lord. I invite you to join together in praying the prayer of the day as printed in your bulletin. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Excuse me. Good morning. That song already got me going, so bear with me. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. and he became their Savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So our psalm is 148. I will do the odd, and you follow with the even, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
He has raised us up for his people,
praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the prisoner of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sacrifices and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite any children to come forward for children's message. Thanks for coming up. Well, today's gospel story tells kind of a grim or sad story. The ruler in the land where Jesus was born was a guy named Herod, right? And Herod was concerned about this baby born, Jesus, who he thought might be a threat to his kingdom. And so he decided that he needed to do something to stop him and tried to make a plan to harm the baby Jesus. But God spoke to Joseph in a dream, told Joseph, get up, take Mary, your wife, and Joseph and Jesus, and go to Egypt, and there you'll be safe there. And that was how God protected and watched over the baby Jesus and kept Mary and Joseph safe. But it's not a very pleasant story, but it reminds me of a couple things. One, that Jesus wasn't born into a perfect world. He was born into a world that we're familiar with. And sometimes there are people that don't do good things, the people that hurt other people. But the story reminds me of some positive things, too. That God wanted to protect Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And God has parents and parents given to us to help protect and watch over us. And that God wants to protect you and me. And I was wondering if you can give me some ideas of ways that God seeks to protect you. How does God protect you? Sometimes I think God does it by the people that he places in our lives. There's some people in your lives that God has put there to help protect you. Yeah? Maybe your mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. Maybe some of the people out here in the congregation. Maybe your teachers at school. Yeah, Neil?
Police?
Absolutely. Our government officials, we elect them to help protect us, to create laws that are good for everybody. All the different ways that God is working to seek to protect us and to protect you. And I think God also wants you to protect others. Who would God want you to protect? Neil, are you going to protect Laura? Yeah, your sister, your Andy, maybe Elias, maybe Taylor. We protect our brothers and sisters, our parents, and I think different ways that we do that. Uh-huh. And those are all people that we're responsible for to help care for. And one of the ways that we can do that is by the things that we say, by how we treat them, by whether we do things that lift them up or the things that pull them down. Those are ways that we can protect and care for each other. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for placing people in our lives to protect us. Help us to protect others. Amen. Great. Thanks for coming up this morning. I invite the congregation to sing hymn number 277. Good morning. As I was working on the children's message for this week, I suggested to Carol that maybe we'll just act out the gospel for the children's message. And she advised that probably wouldn't be a good idea. I'd prefer to have a different gospel text to work with this morning, but I'll stick with the one that's assigned for today. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Have you ever had a bad dream? One that woke you up or kept you awake? Something that might be called a premonition, that things are not going to go well if you do something in particular. Thankfully, I don't regularly have such dreams, and I've never had a dream that told me to flee in the middle of the night to save a member of my family from being killed. There have been times when I could have used a bit more guidance to do something or not do something, a warning or protection that might have saved me some grief. Most of us can think of times when a warning of some sort might have been helpful. Just some idea of what is about to happen that could cause you to reconsider your plan of action. But that's not how things typically work. I'd probably dismiss the dream, the warning sign, as something I ate or a case of gas. We live by our faith, our choices, our instincts. We live knowing that the decisions we make, while often guided by God's guidance, are still very much our own decisions. On this first Sunday of Christmas, we hear a story about a serious warning of coming peril for Joseph and the new family. Joseph's dream would have been terrifying for any family, perhaps especially for a new dad with a wife and a baby. Joseph's dream is intense. An angel tells him, "Get up and take the baby and his mom, flee to Egypt and remain there, because Herod is about to search for your baby and kill him." Herod, this evil tyrant, is the one responsible for inflicting this mass murder of children. In this case, even the murder of his own people. Our reading calls to mind the inconsolable sorrow of moms and dads from all times and places whose children preceded them in death. We're also reminded that Moses and Jesus were both born under this threat of death. Thankfully, both were guided by God's protective hand. The scriptures tell us that Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. After his death, they were eventually able to return to the land of Israel. Jesus would live to be raised in Nazareth. Up to this point, Matthew had led us to believe that Jesus would be the one before the kings of the earth would kneel. Now, however, Jesus is identified with the helpless, the vulnerable people of the world. Jesus is subject to those in power. Our gospel reminds us that Jesus' welcome into the world was not a unanimous acclamation, but fear that this child would subvert the order of the world, that a mere child would weaken the powerful like Herod. One wonders if Joseph had received such a dream in our world today, to leave his home and take refuge in another country, pick your country, would he be turned back at the border? I'm not just talking about the border between the United States and Canada at Telegraph Creek, or the U.S. border with Mexico, or any border between any countries in this world. If Joseph had received such a dream in our current world, such as it is today, would he be told to wait it out back home and hope for the best? The forced travels of Jesus and his family remind us of all the refugees and the oppressed people of the earth. A terrible reality of life is that a great many people in many parts of the world are simply at the mercy of political tyrants or unpredictable forces of nature that determine when and where and how long they live. As the world's governments continue to have conversations about the problem of immigration and refugees, it's a chilling thought to contemplate that the baby Jesus is saved from the wrath of Herod only because he and his family are able to cross a border. The slaughter of innocents, as this story is sometimes called, chips away at the joy of Christmas. Christmas was only 4 days ago, with all its beauty and wonder. Isn't it too soon for that innocence to be packed up in green and red storage boxes? Can't we stay in Bethlehem a little longer? Unfortunately, history repeats itself. Such atrocities happened in Egypt before the Exodus. It happened on the way to Egypt a millennium later. It's a perpetual lesson, reminds us that the most vulnerable suffer when the most powerful are irresponsible. Unfortunately, our gospel this morning may be dark and difficult, but it isn't even a little bit far-fetched. Such a grim account of wholesale massacre and night flights to safety would seem far-fetched were it not for similar atrocities and tragedies happening right now. How many families, for instance, are being dislocated in Syria or other countries as we gather for worship? How many children are hungry or lack shelter in the United States or around the world as this year comes to a close? How many families in Petersburg or in Alaska are contending with their own private sorrows or hardships? I had wondered why only Matthew is the gospel writer to tell this story. His gospel is known as the quote-unquote teaching gospel. In it, we find the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps Matthew includes this story to let us know that indeed, in Jesus, God did indeed draw near to us, near enough to experience and endure all that we experience in this world, even disappointment, violence, and death. Also that we would know that we're never alone. Thank God for those times when life is beautiful and wonderful and filled with grace and goodness. God is a part of those blessings and celebrates with us and for us. At other times, life is hard and disappointing, and God is part of that as well. Through it all, we have the promise that God will stay with us. Stay with us through the good and the bad, drawing us ever more deeply into God's loving embrace, and promising that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. As I shared on Christmas Eve, God in Jesus is seeking to hold us through the joys and sorrows of our lives, working through the triumphs and tragedies we experience. This story matters because it tells the truth, the sometimes difficult truth of unjust rulers and violence, the truth of private grief and personal pain and all the rest. But it also tells us the hopeful truth that God has not stood at a distance, but in Jesus, God has joined God's self to our story. God in Jesus is working even now, even here, to give new life, new beginnings. Living in this new life, we're freed to help free others. Unfortunately, it's likely that in the news this coming week, there will be a report of violence in America, one perhaps even involving the death of children. The violence might be related to spouse abuse or child abuse, drugs, mental abuse, or a number of other reasons. Walter Buzard reminds us, Herod's slaughter of the infants in Bethlehem was not the last time a maniac snuffed out the lives of innocents. Thankfully, God warned Joseph and Mary to flee with Jesus to a place of safety. Today, our gospel compels us to discern how we might warn and walk with those who live in fear for the future, because those in power are irresponsible. As we do that, they will see Emmanuel, God with us. May God bless us in that journey for the sake of the world that God so deeply loves. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able for the singing of O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 279.